they said Sunday that this metaphor of the wilderness is turning out, at least in my head, and I hope it is an authentic development and not just my own nuttiness. But it's turned out to be really fruitful, really rich. And what I've discovered, thinking about the Holy Week liturgy, is that it plays itself out even throughout these last 3 days of Lent, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, too. So I'd like to talk about not the construction of the wilderness, but what goes on within the wilderness now. So we've talked about silence and pace and poverty and as constituting a wilderness, but then once we're there, what's supposed to happen? And I'd like to get to that in what might seem a somewhat oblique way by a couple of anecdotes. In one of the numerous bishops I've worked under here and in the States, the one thing that was common to all of those bishops, the several bishops of my own diocese in Illinois and in the other cities, Michigan, Chicago, where I worked, that there were always bishops, and none of them knew me. None of them knew me, really. My ordaining bishop used to come to the seminary annually, as he said, to get to know the seminarian, but all he did was talk. Now, you'd come and you'd get a little fine time, and he'd sit and talk. And then he'd get to know you, I suppose. That'll see how well you listened, I suppose. But in one conversation with one of these multiple bishops, I was asked a question. The one and only time a bishop has asked me a question, and the question was this: are you undermining my authority? Here, too, the situation was the same. This man didn't know me. There were rumors, of course, and gossip and reports, never shown to me, but apparently to him. So this is what, and I was totally taken aback. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. I was so taken off balance. That question, the only question he's ever asked me. And what I should have said, well, what do you think your authority is? That's what I should have asked if I had presence of mind. My immediate response is, of course not, which was true. So what was his idea of his authority? And then it was somewhat clarified to me by a lawyer who heard one of my sermons last summer, as a matter of fact, and wrote me a very long email when we were talking about the pedophilia thing. And he offered this definition of authority. Authority is the capacity to give orders and to see that they are carried out. That's authority. And I suppose, from a lawyer's perspective, that makes perfectly good sense. Very lawyerly answer to the question of what is authority. And I thought about that a great deal and then wrote him a very long email answer, saying, well, I'm not so sure. So when the gospel says, and the people were surprised at Jesus because he spoke with authority, that's the kind of thing he was about. That's the way authority functioned in the gospel reading of authority. And then, an epiphany. What is this extraordinary gesture of the foot washing, which was, of course, job left to the most menial member of the household, the youngest child or the youngest slave, if you're rich enough to have slaves. It was routinely done when people came in the house because there was no pavement, of course. And here's Jesus doing it. I'd like to say, and I'll take just a couple minutes to try to break this down, that that's authority, as it's defined, redefined by Jesus. That's authority. Therefore, how does it work? Jesus knew these 12 guys. They had been with him 1, 2, maybe 3 years. We don't know how long. Jesus knew their foibles. And the fact that they all ran away probably did not surprise him. I'm sure it didn't make him happy, but probably did not surprise him either. He knew them, in other words, as people. And his response to them was still not say, listen, you guys are all a bunch of cowards. You're going to abandon me. You're going to leave me literally hanging. Which could argue back to a view of authority which says, I'm able to control. Because that's the essence of authority understood as this lawyer had it, and I think as the bishop had it in his mind too. To control, to be able to control, to tell people what to do and to make sure that you can get them to do it. The astonishing thing in the foot washing is that notion of authority is totally upended. Authority is relational, first of all. Jesus knew all those people. Jesus knew them as human beings, as individual human beings. And knowing them in their cowardice, in their fragility, in their weakness, he offered himself in the most defenseless way. The most innocuous possible position in that relationship he took in washing their feet. And I think that that's what authority is supposed to be about. It grows out of knowing people. And even, you know, W doesn't know me, Chrétien doesn't know me, Davenport doesn't know me, but there is a capacity to at least keep in the back of one's head that I am dealing not with statistics, not with bottom lines, not with numbers, but with human beings. And you see, only if you work from there does anything you do subsequently qualify as authority as exercised by Jesus. Only if you work from there, either first-hand knowledge or the awareness that these are people with their own mysterious destiny and history and futures and hopes and foibles, etc., etc. In other words, it's certainly not a matter of control. It's not a matter of control. Control is the very opposite. Because control circumscribes. Control foreshortens. Control is basically in the hands of the controller. And that's why this gesture is so drastic, a redefinition of authority. Here is this totally profligate man. This totally prodigal, heedlessly throwing himself at these people, giving himself to them. Which is, of course, then articulated in the Eucharist. And it's only in doing that, in taking them seriously, and in offering himself to them, and therefore giving them the responsibility to respond. Not controlling, not determining the shape of their response, but giving them the possibility of responding and then letting them take responsibility for whatever response they make. It's untidy. It's essentially an untidy arrangement. Essentially an untidy arrangement. The vagaries of each of us. You know, how undependable we are. How easily we are disloyal. And yet here you have Jesus, who presumes is a fairly canny human being. I mean, you can't trust all the gossip saying, well, Jesus knew everything, and so it didn't cost him anything. Folks, come on. That's not what the gospel says. That's not what the gospel intends either. But you see, if authority works that way, then the fruit of authority is to free the other. And freeing the other to make possible the response of love. That's where the wilderness part comes in, because that's just cloud cuckoo land. That's just nuttiness. That's crazy. I mean, talk about disorientation. Dislocation from the world, from who we think we are, from the way things are supposed to go. Man, oh man, this is wilderness squared. Cubed. Infinitized. Because what do I do when somebody takes me seriously? When somebody gives himself or herself to me. Truly. And everybody knows that even in our highly fallible forms of human loving, we know that when anybody says to us, and we believe them, I really do love you, the effect is to totally leave us at loose ends, I think. Wilderness. To put us into wilderness. You see, that's the same kind of wilderness that Hosea had in mind that we read at the very beginning of Lent. I will take Gomer, my whore wife, into the desert, into the wilderness, and bind her with bonds of love. Wilderness. That's what happens in the wilderness. That's why the wilderness is a necessary place and process for what Jesus was all about. So this leaves it where it does every year, you know, in that great line from Auden, practicing our scales of rejoicing. You know, it's like we practice the scales of rejoicing as we heard that glorious Bruckner and all the wind chimes and sat there and saying, oh, what's going on here? Unless you were really caught up with it, as I hope you were. So we're going to try this too. I, who would like to have everybody in this room do exactly what I want them to do. God, who would love to call the shots for everybody in this room and have the power to make sure that they followed all the directions that I laid down. I am going to pretend that I'm not going to do that. And you guys are going to pretend to let me do it. You see, the other thing that, as I said, that is the fruit of authority under is responsiveness, responsibility. And authority only works when we become responsible. Otherwise, we're talking about control again. So, with all the goodwill in the world, let us try it again this year. Imitate at least the gesture of Jesus in the foot wash.